Kenny Blumenfeld is with me this morning. Good morning, Kenny.
Hi there, Katya. How are you?
Oh, very well. Very well. I know that we've both been taking some breaks, and it's just good to have you back with me. I always like to hear your stories. And I usually start, let me just refresh my memory about what our week's been like. Seems kind of generally wet, dull. The colors, however, are in full bloom. And I will say, last night, I mentioned this on the radio earlier, anyone who was out by the breakwall or the Peninsula Path just witnessed at sunset one of the most incredible color scenes I've ever seen. And the sky had these yellow, green, and the lake was yellow, green, and there was a very, very bright rainbow, and the south shore could be seen crisply. It was just amazing. So I think we're getting some good crisp fall air. I can only imagine that's what that is. And as well as it seems like we don't need to worry about drought anymore. So tell me if I'm right.
Yeah, where you are, you're right. There's still definitely drought around much of Minnesota, but not where you are.
Yeah.
there's a little scallop that was carved out of northeast Minnesota. It is basically from the east side of Duluth up into the Iron Range and then drops back down towards Two Harbors.
Yeah.
That area has not just no drought, but it's not even in that, quote, abnormally dry or pre-drought category. It's just nothing. So congratulations, got out of the drought.
Yes, it was all our doing, of course.
yeah, good work. Yeah, what you've described, though, so we had also a spectacular kind, I don't even know, electric peach sunset last night. It was also from St. Paul.
Okay.
It was glorious. And, you know, some of what's going on here is, you know, you got to remember how all of this works. The sun is at its highest during the day, and then it gets at lower and lower angles during the evening. And then obviously we don't see it at all at night. And when it's basically at the highest angle, you know, most directly above us, even though it's never directly above us, but when it's sort of most direct, it goes through the least amount of atmosphere. And that means there's less water and less other gases and whatnot that are absorbing dust, that are absorbing and scattering that sunlight. So around noon, you get pretty close to white light. And then as you get into the evening, where that light has to bounce off and get scattered by more things as it makes its way to the earth, because it's at an angle, so it's basically passing through a larger section of atmosphere, some of that color, some of that white light gets refracted, and you end up seeing these yellows and oranges.
Mm.
Now, but that's just sort of a general model. In the summertime, our sun is, you know, seasonally the very highest and very strongest that we ever see, you know, starting with the summer solstice, and then it decreases slowly as you move to fall. So summer is really a season of white light, and you don't get into the vibrant sunsets until pretty late in the day, and there's
right.
a very narrow window. Now think of, as we get in fall into winter, the sun, even at noon, is at more of an angle relative to Earth than it is during the summertime. And so even this time of year, in high noon, we start getting kind of yellow light. It's not real. It's not truly white light. And that's why in the fall and in the winter, even when the sun is out in full force, the air has kind of almost like a yellowish tinge that would be similar to what you'd see in the late afternoon or evening during the summertime.
Mm.
So then when the sun starts setting and it gets more, even more atmosphere to pass through, you get this prolonged window. At this time of year, we can get a few hours of kind of yellows and reds. And so we get nice long sunsets as we move towards winter. And then you throw in what we had yesterday, which was some clouds and some showers that were, you know, producing a little bit of rain, that was, and some of that rain was between us and the sun. And so you get, you know, you get rainbows, you get all kinds of great effects from that. And when we were actually, if you were between the sun and the rain, that's when you would see the rainbow. So you'd see the rainbow off in the direction of the rain. then you could look back and see a really vibrant sunset that's playing off some of the contrast from darker clouds. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you had, but it was one of the best sunsets of the year here in St. Paul. So I'm suspecting that it was similar.
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting to hear. It wasn't just specific to us because it was, I mean, it was so, colors were so brilliant. Like the even after the sun had set, the grass was like, seriously, it almost looked neon green. It was so bright. And everyone that we came across had also paused. Yeah. I mean, it really was, you couldn't not notice it. So just amazing to see that and fun to talk about it too.
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Yes. And what's coming up now?
Yeah, it's a little bit dicey, I have to say. So, okay, so for one, you get a nice day today for the most part. Most of us are going to have, you know, temperatures in the 50s. If you could get inland a little bit and move to the southwest part of the state, you would hit temperatures in the 70s today. But I think in the Two Harbors area, you're going to have to settle for a little bit of fog and clouds and temperatures, I would say, probably in the 50s, some sunshine, especially on Sunday. And then Monday looks nice. And then we're looking at a kind of a question mark of a weather system for next week. And it's a big question mark. So it's kind of what I would call it consequential uncertainty.
After Kenny was unexpectedly cut off in mid-interview, he sent this email to Katya. What I was going to say was, we have consequential uncertainty because it looks like moisture from Hurricane Norma in the eastern Pacific off the coast of Mexico will head up towards the Midwest. What happens with that moisture is really unclear. Some models have it getting pushed off to the east by a moderately strong cold front, and that's that. We'd be showery for a bit, and then the temperatures would drop, but we'd have little to talk about. Other models, however, have it working into and intensifying a low-pressure area, which would then spread the copious moisture into the region and begin a 3-day feedback cycle, during which the moisture intensifies the circulation of the system, which then draws even more moisture in from the Gulf of Mexico, while the warm and cold air masses sharpen their boundaries. So scenario one is not memorable. Scenario two is heavy rain, thunderstorms with raging winds for 36 to 48 hours, with the possibility of heavy snow and blizzard conditions towards the end of the week. So we will be watching over the next several days to see which scenario becomes more likely or if a new one emerges. Thus concludes Kenny Blumenfeld's weather tidbits for this week.